I would ask for you to open your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the passage that I read from during the Lord's Supper service. And I would like to take you there this morning and point out some of the things that are mentioned here in this particular text. In our church, we have somewhat recently made the switch from having the Lord's Supper service once a month on the first Sunday of the month to once every quarter. And we did that a little bit ago in our church calendar and voted to do that in a business meeting. And what that means, if you ever think about this just briefly, it means we only have the Lord's Supper four times in the year, once every quarter. Four times in the year. Part of the reason for doing that, of course, is so that it does not ever become old hat.
Amen.
And just something that, you know, ho-hum, we're having the Lord's Supper service again. You know, that kind of an attitude. When it's once every quarter or four times in a year, my hope and my desire is that each time we do this, it's very special. I would like for it to be very special. Another change that we'll probably do it again this year is when we get close to Easter, we'll have the Lord's Supper service the Wednesday night before Easter Sunday. Believing that Jesus was crucified somewhere in the middle of the week, it's very fitting that we would have the Lord's Supper service to recognize that. And then, of course, that next coming Sunday then would be Easter Sunday and would speak about his resurrection. So these are some things and some changes that we've made in the recent years concerning the Lord's Supper. And I want to say again, I long for the Lord's Supper service to be something special for all of you and for me as well. I hope it's special for our Lord as he watches us and sees what we do. We've come together today and we've sung hymns and we've given our offering and we've had the Lord's Supper service together. And I want you to consider with me four things that every one of us should remember and see when we have the Lord's Supper service together. All right? Number one is this. When we observe the Lord's Supper, we should always see the cross. We should always see the cross. Notice, if you would, in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is," notice, "broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Between the fact that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was shed, each and every one of us should be able to see and remember, and I hope think about, the cross and what took place there. Every one of us should remember, of course, that Jesus didn't deserve to be hanging on that cross. But we did. He took our place. Aren't you glad? I know I'm very thankful for that. But the one that deserves to be there is Mark Weiss. The one that deserves to be there is Kathy Thody. I mean, I won't do this, but I could go through and mention all your names. We are the ones that deserve to be there. But Jesus took our place, and so we should remember and think about and see with our mind's eye. We should be able to see the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should see him on that cross with all the wounds on his body that he had to suffer between the what's called the scourging or the cat of nine tails and the crown of thorns upon his head and the nails in his hands and in his feet and eventually the spear that went into his side. We should be able to see all of that. We should be able to see the cross and the tremendous suffering. By the way, he was there for hour after hour after hour. hanging on the cross, suffering on the cross for you and for me. What love, what compassion, what caring he had for each and every one of us. The Lord's Supper should remind us of the cross and the death of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it should help us to be able to see that. To see that in our mind's eye. It should cause us to be very thankful and very grateful and very humbled that he would be willing to take our place when it was actually we who deserve to be there. One of the great things about the Lord's Supper service should be all of us as believers are reminded of what the Lord has done for us on the cross. I wasn't there, and you weren't there either. But through the Lord's Supper and seeing it in our mind's eye, we should be able to take a trip back and actually witness it in our hearts. So I want to say again, number one, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we should see the cross, which brings me then to my second point, which is when we observe the Lord's Supper, we should also see our sin. Our sin. Notice here in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm moving down now to verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, remember I mentioned that earlier in the service, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Here again, we're reminded about the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ and him suffering and dying on that cross. But then again, why was he there? Well, it was because of our sin. One of the amazing things about our Savior, of course, is that he was, and still is, and always will be, sinless. He took upon him, according to Isaiah, he took upon him our sins. He took upon himself the punishment for our sins. And I don't know how to explain this to you, and I don't have the words, humanly speaking, to explain, but I believe this is true according to the Scriptures, and I don't know how it all took place. But when Jesus was on the cross, God the Father put the sins of the whole world upon his Son. He paid for the sins of you and me. He paid for the sins even of those who want nothing to do with him. When we have the Lord's Supper service, we should see, first of all, the cross, but we should also see our sin. Because our sin is what put him there. This Lord's Supper service that we observe today wouldn't even happen if it had not been for our sin. It's our sin that put him there. Jesus was totally sinless. He was 100% holy, still is. But he took upon himself our sin. My life verse, I told you about this not too many services ago. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me go through the verse again. For he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Up until that time, Jesus knew nothing of sinning. He's sinless. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think about the fact that Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness? Wow. Friend, if that doesn't make you want to say thank you, I don't know what will. If that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. If that doesn't make you grateful, I don't know what will. Jesus willingly took upon himself our sin and gave us his righteousness. No wonder the songwriter said, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. I can relate to those words very easily. I don't understand why the Lord did that. I'm sure I'm glad that he did, though. And again, the Lord's Supper service should remind us of this. Number one, we should see the cross. Number two, we should see our sin. By the way, this is one of the reasons why we encourage you to do some self-examination just prior. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you're walking in obedience to God's word as best as you can. Do your best to be right and clean before the Lord. If anything comes to mind that's wrong, confess that right away and ask forgiveness right away so that when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper service, you're doing it, as the scriptures say here, in a worthy manner. Otherwise, you bring condemnation upon yourself. Four things we should see at the Lord's Supper service. Number one, we should see the cross. Number two, we should see our sin. Number three, we should also see the body of Christ. Here in 1 Corinthians, if you'll back up to chapter 10 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. That's verse 14. Verse 15, 1 Corinthians 10, 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Notice this passage here is mentioning the blood that was shed, and of course the cup that's representing that, and then the body that was broken and bruised, and the bread that represents that. And he mentions here the communion of the body of Christ. When we partake of the Lord's Supper service, we should see the cross, we should see our sin, we should also see the body of Christ. And I want to mention two aspects to this point. First, his literal physical body. To be able to see it, again, you have to do this in your mind's eye, of course, because we were not there. But can you see Jesus hanging on the cross? Can you see his body? Can you see what Psalm 22 mentions when it mentions that he could tell or count all of his bones and all of his bones being out of joint? Can you see the crown of thorns upon his head and the blood running down across, you know, his forehead and face and so forth? Can you see the nails in his hands and in his feet and the blood coming from that? Can you see his body literally torn apart by that scourging and the blood flowing down? Can you see even the wound in his side where the spear was thrust in? Can you see his body hanging on the cross? If you can, how can you not say thank you, Lord? If you can see that, how can you not say, Lord, I'll give you my life. I'll try my best to live for you and serve you. We should be able to see the body of Christ. And I'm speaking, first of all, about the literal physical body that our Savior possessed when he walked on this earth. But then secondly, and it's referred to here in this passage, we should also be able to see the spiritual body of Christ. In other words, the family of God, those that are saved, those that are born again. I mentioned recently about Sarah and I, today I mentioned this, taking this trip up to Superior, and most of the years that we've been close enough to go, we've been able to go, and we go because we see a lot of people there that we know, and the particular speaker that they had this year, he and I are friends, and so I wanted to go and support him and hear him. I always enjoy listening to him preach God's word, and numbers of people said to me when we were there, I didn't know if you'd make it or not. You know, having had the heart attack and the open heart surgery and so forth, we didn't know if you'd make it. And even the speaker just before we left shook my hand and held on for the longest time. And he said, thank you for making the effort to come. I wasn't sure you'd be here, but I sure am honored that you put forth the effort to come and hear me. And I told him what a blessing he'd been to me through the years. I'm only saying that to say this. That's all. These pastors were from Michigan. They were from Minnesota. They were from Wisconsin. They were from Illinois. I don't know if there are any from Indiana. I don't remember that. North Dakota. Several states nearby came to this meeting. It's usually very well attended by states, you know, all around us. That's all part of the body of Christ. Amen? You know, this is the body of Christ right here in Stoughton. But also, when believers get together to worship God and learn about God, even from different states, that's part of the body of Christ. And one day, of course, all of us as believers are going to be raptured off this earth, amen, and taken to heaven, and there'll be thousands and thousands and millions of us believers all gathered together in one place. That's all part of the family of God or the body of Christ as well. We're going to meet folks we've never met before that are part of this same family. We're going to meet people that we had a part. We didn't maybe realize it, but we had a part in seeing them come to know the Lord as their Savior because we prayed for our missionaries and we gave to send our missionaries. We gave out tracts and someone got saved because of that. And maybe we didn't even realize it. I don't know if you've ever had that happen or not, but somebody come up to you that maybe you don't even remember and mentions the fact that you gave them a gospel tract one day and they got saved. Well, that's pretty exciting. But see, that's all part of the body of Christ. And we're a part of that now, and we have this local assembly right here, but also there's a greater body that our believers all around the world, for that matter. And so when we have the Lord's Supper service, we need to see that. See the physical body of our Savior suffering, bleeding, dying on the cross, but also see the overall body of Christ that we are a part of. And we celebrate that today. And then there's one more thing that I wanted to mention. Number one, we need to see when we have the Lord's Supper service, we need to see the cross. Number two, we need to see our sin. Number three, we need to see the body of Christ. Number four, we also need to see the return of Christ. I'm going back to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, and verse 26, which I did read after the Lord's Supper service was completed. 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death," here it is, "till he come." Till he come. Each time we partake of the Lord's Supper together, we should remember not only his death, his burial, his resurrection, our sin, the body of Christ, but we should also remember the fact that he's coming. Now, last year, 2024, we lived the whole year and Jesus did not come. The reason I know that is because I'm still here. The reason I know that is because you're still here. So 2024 was not the year that our Lord had picked for his son to return in the rapture and take all of his children home. Oh, friends, please listen. It could be 2025. If 2025 is the year, I will not be sad. If 2025 is the year and it happens before my next birthday, I will not be sad. If 2025 is the year and it happens before the inauguration on the 20th of January, I will not be sad. If 2025 is the year and it happens before we gather again tonight to have the evening service, I will not be sad. If 2025 is the year and it happens before we finish this service, I will not be sad. Boy, you're really a nut about that. Well, I guess in one way I am. I'm looking forward to his return. Friend, everything that's in store for us in heaven is so much better than this. So much better than this. Each time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should remember that Jesus is coming. He's coming for those who know him. He's coming for those who love him. Listen, he's coming for those who look for him. Scripture says that. Do you love him? Do you know him? Are you looking for him? Just think, we never have to go to church again. I say that in jest because I don't know about you. For me, it's not a burden. I enjoy coming. But we never have to go to church again. I'm looking forward to that so very much. He's coming for those who know him, who love him, who look for him. He's going to take us home to a place that's so much better than this. The best is yet to come. And if we could see just a glimpse of what's waiting for us, we would have very little desire to stay here. Sometime shortly after we gather together in heaven, by way of the rapture, there's going to be another supper, which is having to do with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who's going to preside over that? Jesus. I'll be able to sit with the rest of you and let him preside. What a time that's going to be. When we partake of the Lord's Supper service, four things we should see at the Lord's Supper. Number one, the cross. Number two, our sin. Number three, the body of Christ. Number four, the return of Christ. Now, before I wrap this up, let me just ask you, and don't answer out loud, but just think about this. What did you see when you partook of the Lord's Supper service today? What did it make you think about? What was brought back to your mind and to your heart? What did you see when you partook of the Lord's Supper service today? Was it just the men who were walking through the audience and delivering the bread or the wine, the juice? Was it just them? Was it the other people who are here? Was it anyone who's not here? Was it the pastor who was standing up front? What did you see when you had the Lord's Supper service today? Hopefully it had something to do with what we talked about. The cross, our sin, the body of Christ, and the return of Christ. The next time we have the Lord's Supper together will be just before Easter Sunday. That Wednesday night, just before Easter Sunday. Just happens to be on my birthday this year. Amen. April 16th. By the way, this is something extra. Just a little note. If you ever want to know things that are coming up in the church's calendar, go to our website, Stoughton Baptist Church, click on the church calendar, and look through the months and see what's scheduled for when. When we have missionaries coming, I'll put that in there. When we have the Lord's Supper, I'll put that in there. Of course, it's already in there for the whole year. When we have deacons' meetings, business meetings, fellowship dinners, whatever, it's all in there. And I would encourage you to look at that. Back to the message. The Lord's Supper service should be something very special. I don't ever want it to be ho-hum or here's another one. It should be something when each time our minds and our hearts are in tune with the Lord and we're thinking about all he's done for us and we are in awe at his love and compassion for us. Why me, Lord? You know, like King David said in the Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Lord, why do you even care about me? And again, it should humble us. But it should also make us grateful and thankful for what he's done. Four things we should see at the Lord's Supper. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, thank you for the Lord's Supper. Thank you for what it pictures for us. Thank you most of all for Jesus, who took our place on the cross, suffered and bled and died, was buried, rose again, ascended up into heaven later, and promised us that he's going to return. We look forward to that return. In the meantime, as we continue with our living for you and our serving you in this church family, along the way we'll have the Lord's Supper once every quarter. May we be reminded of these things constantly and be thankful and grateful for all you've done for us. Bless, please, the short invitation we're going to give. Have your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen.